This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
If you would turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is the third and last in the series of Saul, King Saul. And we're going to look at one verse today, and it's 1 Samuel 16. And we're going to look at verse 1. And I'm just asking if you would join with me in prayer before we start. Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. You are going to speak today. And Lord, you will have your way in the hearts of your people. I pray, Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ would be lifted up. And Lord, that he would be seen and understood. That, Lord Jesus, you would have your way. That, Lord, we would leave this place forever changed, Lord, by a truth that you've spoken to us. Thank you, O God. We trust you for this. This is not in ourselves, O God, to see spiritual transformation. It is your work, O God, and it's one that you delight to do in our hearts. So have your way, Lord, and receive all the glory for what you'll do in your word. Let the Holy Spirit make it live this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 16, chapter 16, verse 1, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Now the first two tapes in this series tell us about the life of King Saul and why he was rejected. But for this message, we are jumping right in for what happens after the point where Saul, the first king of Israel in the Old Testament, was rejected. And this message really is compressed down into this verse where God says that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. And he tells the prophet, I have provided me a king in his stead. And beloved, this is the greatest lesson what we're going to look at. When we examine this verse, this is the greatest lesson that we could ever learn from the life of King Saul. Surely we can look into his tragic life and say, when we look at the reasons why he was rejected by God in reigning over his people, there is a wealth of reasons why God did that and how it speaks to our life as believers today. But the greatest lesson is found in chapter 1 Samuel 16 and compressed into that verse. The greatest lesson, what King Saul means to us as believers, we want to look at today. What does he represent to us as believers today in the body of Christ? And the story of Saul, the rejected king, and the story of David, the king that God said, I've provided for myself to be the next king to rule over my people. Their lives can be compressed down into understanding that they are a type of a believer. They represent two natures in one heart. The heart of a believer has a King Saul and has a King David. And the fight in our nature that represents by these two kings is sort of a type and an example of what happens in our hearts when we surrender to Christ. And Saul, of course, represents the old man. He represents the old nature. He is animated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. The enemy has access to King Saul. He has access to our mind, our heart, our nature, Because we were born with that nature, with a Saul nature, with a Saul heart. We were born with that. And the enemy can speak to us and influence us when this Saul is who is reigning in our heart. But when David comes and is anointed king, it is a picture and a type of when the Lord Jesus Christ takes residence in our heart. And where David now represents the Spirit of Christ in us and is now appointed to be the new king of the dominion of our heart and our mind. He is the new reigning king of our spirit. He is the new reigning king that we pledge our allegiance to and we say, I will follow you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. There is a new king in the kingdom of our heart, mind, and soul. And God says that that first king, our old nature, the old flesh, I have rejected him from being king. And I have sent you a new king, David, the Spirit of Christ, into our hearts. And of course, Saul will try to pretend that he is the king. And there will be times that you and I will feel our old flesh and our old nature want to rise up. But beloved, when we are in Christ, Saul is an empty figurehead. He is a powerless, empty figurehead. He wants his way. He will at times lead out. There will be times that we will feel that, Lord, what am I doing? We will get confused. And then we will remember, oh, it is Saul who thinks he's king, trying to lead my life. It is Saul who is asserting me because the enemy has access. And it's like our mind sometimes becomes a highway for the enemy's thoughts. But you and I in Christ can remember that this king has been deposed. And that you and I with Christ in our life and the Holy Spirit living in us, you and I now have power to tell King Saul he has been rejected from being king by God himself. God says, I have rejected him, but I provided myself a king. I provided myself a son. I sent heaven best and finest to you. I provided myself a lamb. I provided myself a son. I provided myself a king, and I have sent him to you. He is David. He is the Spirit of Christ in our heart. And a new spirit has entered our heart, in our spirit, in our mind. And I'm reminded of that scripture that says, behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he is new. He didn't make himself new, but by virtue of being in Christ, Christ comes in and he breaks the power of sin and he casts out the old king who has been rejected from reigning over our heart and mind and life. There truly has been a change in rulership when Christ comes into our heart. Old things are passed away. Old kings pass away. Old reigns of terror, of fear and unbelief pass away when we're in Christ. And this is the greatest lesson that we have from the story of Saul and David, that there really is a change of kings that rule this kingdom of our heart and our mind. The Bible says that our life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is hid with Christ in God. And when we first come to Christ, or as we're learning the lessons of faith, many times what people see on the outside when they see us, they don't see at times a glorious transformation. But Christ is in the hidden man of our heart. Christ is the hidden man. Christ is living there. And he, little by little, is showing us how we walk with him, how it is that we live our life with him, how it is that what seems small at the beginning is that we accept Christ into our life and we would like to see obvious changes and we would like to see glorious transformations in certain areas of our life. But Christ said, I am there. I am changing you. All things are passing away. And at times the work in you seems hidden. At times the work in us doesn't seem like a great outward display. But Christ in his glory, he lives in us and he's changing us from the inside out. You see, Saul was all about the outside. Saul was all about what men could see and what men wanted to follow and admire. It was all about an outward work. But when there's nothing in the heart, nothing of God in the center of us, we cannot sustain the life of God. If it's all an outward show that people can look to and, you know, praise us about, but in the storms of life, in the attack of the enemy, when it really comes to being able to stand transformed, that is a hidden work of the heart. It's a work that happens not before the eyes of man. It happens in our heart, in our mind, far beyond the eye of man, but totally open to the eye of God. He knows what he's doing in us. And it's the hidden man of the heart where Christ comes to set up his reign. And the Bible says that that hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. What Christ, when he comes into our life, it cannot be corrupted. The life that he brings and who he is cannot be corrupted. It cannot be changed by sin. It comes to dominate sin. It cannot be tainted by sin. It breaks the power of sin. Beloved, when Christ embraces us, he doesn't become unholy. We become holy. He is the incorruptible one in us. He is the ornament or even the crown. And it says that Christ begins to form in us, and he says, here's what I greatly esteem in you. The crown I set on your head is going to be a meek and a quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is a great price. That the stability will come into our lives when Christ comes in. And in this meekness, that means power with restraint. This meekness and a quiet spirit, we are now invited to be a partaker of that. That speaks to me. We are so sure that Christ, if we will follow him, will lead us to victory. We are so sure that if we cry out to him, God will do something miraculous. That God says, I want to build a history in you, and I want you to walk in the power of with this quiet authority, which is your trusting me. And that other king has been deposed. And when he tries to rattle a tin crown, you remember that you have the real thing, an incorruptible crown. Christ has given us a gold crown. And it is not, we're rejecting everything that is Saul. David represents that life of David when we look at this young man, when he was called of God. David always speaks to me of a life of a worshiper. And I'm thinking, Lord, I want you to teach me what it is to be a worshiper. Because David somehow could look at everything around him and find something of God in it. That he could look around and he could lift up his spirit and lift up his hands in gratitude. He could begin to see God in everything, speaking to him through everything. What an incredible way to live. He wasn't looking at himself. He wasn't looking at, can I do the job before me? Or I feel so rejected out here in this wilderness with a few sheep. No, every place when he'd lift up his heart, God would visit him and it became a transformed place. David wasn't, I have this terrible job. I have a stinky job. I'm supposed to take care of the sheep. And believe me, I know they stink. Or when there was a great battle, it was David who was called to bring a few stinky cheeses to his brothers at the battlefield. It's like, I feel so overlooked in my life. I feel that I have these jobs. I have this thing, a persona where people look at me and they don't see much. David wasn't fashioned by that. David's idea of God wasn't what he felt about himself. I want to say that again. David's idea of God wasn't what he thought about himself. David's idea of God was when he lifted up his heart, when he lifted up his mind, and he said, God, I want to worship you. I want to thank you for being an awesome God. I want to thank you for revealing yourself to me and loving me. I want to thank you. You bring this peace and this quiet into my soul that, God, you say you are with me and you're changing me. He was a worshiper. Beloved, you and I will go to worship and the enemy will fight hard for our worship. We'll find our minds scattered. We'll find the day's events want to crowd in. Last week's collision course with things and events want to come and take over our minds. Why? Why is the devil so intent on stealing our worship? Why is it that when we get into the presence of God and all of a sudden we want to have to fight to get to that place? We love it when the choir and the band, all of a sudden you feel the tide rising and you feel the Holy Ghost sweep over this place, and all of a sudden we're just caught up into the Spirit of God and we're worshiping. But beloved, there is a season, there is a time when we enter that we have to fight to get there. We have to say, God, I'm going to offer you the sacrifice of praise. Because the more I learn to worship you and the more I begin to feel and know your Holy Spirit, God, I'm a changed person. When I learn to worship, when I go home, when I'm on the job, when I'm riding the train, you teach me how to just close in with you and lift up my hands in gratitude for the awesome God you are. That you're transforming my thought life at this very moment when I worship you and you speak to me that you are God. That you're in control, that you know. And beloved, what an awesome way to live our life. And David lives in us. The Spirit of David, who is Christ, lives in us. Saul, who didn't know how to worship, who was all about the form, did I look good when I go to church? Not was the state of my heart when I lifted my hands. I reject all that. God, you are doing an inward heart. You are doing the inward part of me. You are making it glorious. God, you're teaching me to keep my eyes focused on you and not let the flesh dictate. If I feel good, I can worship. If I don't feel good, then, you know, I'll just let my thoughts wander. No, David was a worshiper. And he knew how to go into the presence of God and not let the devil steal his worship. Not let the devil lead his mind. Not let the devil take him to another place when God says, I'm in this place and I'm going to bless you as you fight to offer me the sacrifice of praise. I inhabit your praises. I inhabit where you are. I inhabit where you live, and I sanctify it. I make it holy and I change everything about you. David was a worshiper. And David longed to be used for the glory of God. He longed to be used for the glory of God. He was filled with that fire. And it didn't matter what battle he was sent to or when he was sent. He longed to be used for the glory of God. He saw there was a cause. He saw that God had called him. And he was overwhelmed that God wanted to use him. And he would come to the battle. He longed to be used. Saul was so concerned and self-focused. Saul was, you know, so focused on himself. The enemy grew bigger every minute he confronted them. Do I have this? Do I have that? It's like because he had no worship, he had no vision. Because he had no worship, he had no confidence. Because he had no worship, he couldn't see whose battle it was. That this was the Lord's battle. Beloved, when you and I offer our mind and our soul for worship, we're asking God to invade our mind and our heart. We're declaring, God, this is your battleground. You have come now to win my heart and win my mind and win my spirit completely. You've come to take control of my situation now. Saul couldn't worship. So-called Saul didn't have that burning for the glory of God. Saul began to be burned up by fear. Pride, unbelief, he was burned up, but not with the glory of God. He kept pulling away from the Lord's battles. He kept pulling away from the ground God promised him. He kept pulling away from confidence in God. But David longed to be used. And some of you, you've just been saved. You've just given your heart to the Lord. And you have this burning in you to be used for the glory of God. And it's such an awesome thing. And never lose it. The enemy will try to take it. The enemy will say, when you get worldly wise, when you grow up a bit, when you've had a few engagements with the enemy and you come off the worse for it, then we'll see where your zeal is. No, beloved, don't let the devil do that. Don't let him lie to you like that. That voice, Satan, Saul, he has been rejected from ruling over you and I. What he has to say has no authority. And may I remind us that he is the father of all lies. When he tells us there is no hope, when we've engaged the enemy and sometimes we've come back bruised, that's all right. It's just a battle, not the war. It's not the end of the story. And God knows he's how to give us, beloved, to teach us how to be worshipers on the battlefield. And how that all of a sudden we say, God, I want to be in this fight for your glory. I want to be found in this fight for your glory. What can the devil do with that motivation? If we're in it for our glory, we can be led by him. If we're in it for another reason, the devil can come and try to misdirect it. But when that is our motivation, that God, my life that you've given me, I give back to you, and I want to live it in the power of your glory. If you want to send me to Zambia, if you want God to speak impossible things to me, then God, I take it one step at a time, never taking my eyes off you, learning to be a worshiper in it, and learning to do it for your glory. It's the most exciting life on earth. When I read about David and you read about David, it's like our blood boils. This kid would just run with a stone towards a giant. When the armies of Israel would tremble and this guy would just know that God has ordained this fight and that he it's for the glory of God, and he knows God goes before him. He knows the giant's head is his. Because he's a worshiper. And because he's doing it for the glory of God. You and I are going to get our motives sifted this year. Hallelujah. You and I are going to lock into worship and lock into that place that God inhabits. We're going to keep offering him our mind in the worship service. And we're going to say, devil, you're not taking my worship because the spirit of David is upon me. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I'm going to sing like David, dance like David, because David is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If Christ is in us, the Spirit of David, the anointing of David, the acts of David, all that David did, all that David was is ours. And when we think of David, beloved, and we think of the sweet psalmist of Israel, we think of the king of Israel, we see a glory in this man. He had his failings, but what was his testimony? A man after God's own heart. Do not let your failures, do not let your fears, do not let where you've blown it rob you of what God says. You will have a testimony at the end of your days like David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the devil couldn't take his worship, he couldn't take his testimony. Because he couldn't take his worship, he could not take his life. And all our lives go, you know, David, that guy that messed up so bad, that colored his life, that colored his testimony, that robbed the name. David was smitten finally, that the enemies of Israel got to gloat when he fell. And it pierced his heart because he had learned to do what he did for the glory of God. And beloved, I believe that's what got him back on his feet in hope in the mercy of God. It was because he knew when he worshiped, God heard him. And he knew that, God, if you would give me back doing what I do for your glory, that give me back my vision to see my life counts, even if I fail, even if I've messed up, even for a season I have a reputation as another man. God, I throw myself on your mercy, and you promised to make me another man. You promised to bring me to a place of victory over my enemies. And beloved, that's why today we speak of David in these glowing terms. He was not overcome. He was never overcome. Yes, he had his struggles, but he was never overcome. And his testimony lasted right through to glory, where Jesus said, I'm even going to identify myself with this man. I'm going to be known as the Son of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when we first see the story of Saul and David, you know, Saul loved David. He wanted David in his camp. He wanted David around him. You see, because Saul didn't know it, but David had been anointed the new king. He's the hidden man. Nobody knows now. It was a private anointing that he has been chosen to be the new king. And the anointing of God makes him attractive. The anointing of God makes you attractive. When you move in the anointing, when you move in what God has for you, when you call on his spirit, when you say, God, let your life be seen in me, you become very attractive and people want you around till they want to kill you. That's the story here. the scripture takes this story. I don't take it. But it's where it's leading us. Saul loved David and he wanted him in his presence. There was something about him. You know, when he began to worship, everything that tormented Saul fled. The power of worship. And he wanted him around him. It refreshed him. And his turned up spirit that was full of the enemy manipulating his mind and his spirit, where the whole weight of his personality was sinking under the rebellion and the weight of his disobedience to God. David would come with that anointing and everything in Saul would start to feel refreshed. And here for a season, Saul wanted David in his presence. And so too, many times at the dawn of our salvation, at the start of our salvation, when we ask Christ into our heart and we've been taken from such darkness and brought to such light, we lived in such ignorance and now we live in such understanding, it's like, oh, I will never be the same. And such a joy and a peace floods over us. Many for the very first time in our lives and the troubling, the fear and the loneliness seem to vanish. And it's like Saul and David in those first few seasons, in that first little time, they are walking together. But beloved, then all of a sudden in our lives, it follows the progression of the story of Saul and David, because there's two natures in us. The Saul nature, who is the puppet king, the shadow king, the deposed king, and David, the spirit of Christ in us. And all of a sudden, as this new man, as this spirit of David, as Christ begins to rise up in us, Saul all of a sudden realizes he's in the presence of another king. And Saul, he wants to rule still. And to the outward eye, Saul still is ruling. But David is arising because David is the one now going into the battles. David is the one who's running towards the giants. David is the one who can be directed by God and used by God. And all of a sudden, those around are beginning to take note. Where is the anointing lying? Who is the Spirit of God with? And it's not hard to detect over time who is the king here and who is the puppet. And guidance is no longer given to Saul. God is not speaking to Saul. God is not leading through Saul, because God does not deal with our flesh. God does not speak to our flesh. God does not deal with our flesh. He shuts that down. He says, you're going to be subservient to the Spirit of God. The flesh is not to rule our lives. It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living on us, who is the Spirit of Christ, that is now being revealed to us and revealed through us, that is leading us if we're a Christian. If we are a believer is one who believes. If we believe this and we are moving in the power of this because it actually happened to us, I hope you know today this has actually happened to you. There's got to be transformation. There's got to be light. There's got to be a new understanding. If you don't have this, if you're living in someone else's light, you can have your own light today. You just ask Christ. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. You're a holy God. But thank you, Lord, that you say you make a way that I may live a forgiven person, a cleansed person, and a new person. And that only happens in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is new. If any man comes to Christ, bends their knee and invites him in, he becomes a new creature. And that is indisputable. And Saul likes David till David becomes king, and then Saul is threatened and he becomes fearful and jealous of David. And our whole life, you can see it. It starts to wage war against this Spirit, the Holy Spirit living in us. And it can be, you know, this Saul life in us will try to lead out many times and be a counterfeit, try to sound like a new king. You can trust me now. I've learned my lesson. I've changed. You can trust this flesh. I don't open the door every time the devil rings the doorbell. I have good motives. I like people. I'll do good for both of us. Yes, you know that this Saul spirit can masquerade as a changed, reformed king. But beloved, he's not a king. He's been rejected. He's been rejected. And if we've opened our heart to the Spirit of Christ, God says, I have provided me a new king for my people. I provided me a new king for my people. They don't live under the dominion of Saul anymore. Under the dominion of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're not ruled. We don't take our orders. We don't go into battle under his banner anymore. He's been rejected. We don't fight his battles the way he fights them. You know, when David wanted to go into the battle, Saul said, here, use my armor. Use my sword. Use my coat of mail. Use what I do to fight the enemy. Which is very funny because Saul never went in to fight the enemy. It's too shiny, David probably thought. Hey, where's the dings on this sword? No. David refuses that. He doesn't want the armor of Saul. He doesn't want to deal with the enemy the way Saul does. Saul stands trembling before him. Saul can try to maybe make compromise or appeasement. Or just for today, we'll let Goliath yell at us. What harm can there be in that? I know this young lady. Her mother and grandmother are saved. And when she was 25, she moved in with her boyfriend. And she'd always had a heart for the mission field. But 5 years later, after living with her boyfriend, you know, her plans of how she wanted to work overseas and what she wanted to do there went by the wayside because she had to get a job to support them. Because he doesn't have a job. And now she's 30 years old. And he's told her he's still not interested in marriage. You know, beloved, I'm thinking about this young lady, and she was in the presence of some believers recently, and she heard what they had to say about her situation, and she was very offended, and she sent word to her sister, you tell those people not to judge me. I want you to tell them I want to get married. Beloved, now can we hear Saul in this? Saul is extremely threatened when the giant stands up, when this sin, when what she has to deal with, the choice that she's made in her life, when she knows better, and she's decided to set her judgment against what God says is right and what she knows her family says is right, and she makes these decisions, and she's being robbed, she's being lied to, she's being defrauded. And in the end, people are going to say, you know, he's rotten. He's no good. No, beloved, she needs to say at this point, I am being led by Saul. I am the one, I have let him in, and he wants to find out appeasements. He wants to not tell that giant, I'm going to take you on, by say, I have done wrong. I have made a mistake. This is ending. It ends now. And if there's any hope for us, I'm going back under the dominion of a king that loves me and a king that will lead me into righteousness, will teach me how to live with self-respect and dignity, who will teach me how to give, who will bring me someone who wants to do it God's way with God's order, God's protection, God's covering, and God's blessing. But so often Saul says, no, we'll appease, you know, you can make do, you've got a good heart, you want to get married, you want to, you know, beloved, let's not fall for Saul when he tries to lead us through our flesh. When resentments and ungodly relationships or fears or self-wills or whatever it is wants to lead out and say, I've got a good idea. We'll say, shut up, you're not the king. Yeah. Saul is always leading us in rebellion to God, no matter what he says. Saul lived a life of rebellion, most of his life, in rebellion to God. Young David, in this cause, when he understands, God, I want to fight for your honor and your glory. But there came a season where Saul started to pursue David, where Saul was so threatened by him that he began to have to flee for his life. And this is a picture, beloved, of when our lives are being hunted by an enemy, by King Saul, by the world, by the flesh, by the devil, everything that our own heart, influenced by these things, it starts to want to hunt and go after the life of Christ in us. Or there can be a church world that says you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to be all out for God. You can have all the benefits of Saul and call yourself David. And there is a whole spiritual life that's represented by Saul and how he had a walk with God. And then there is a kingdom where David is king and he has this walk with God. And the kingdom of Saul is hunting David. You would think, you know, because the mantra in religion today is, okay, you've got your beliefs, I'll have mine. You live the way you want to, I'll live the way I want to. Tell me something, why did it matter so much to the kingdom of Saul that David be extinguished? I mean, if that's the way we feel, you've got yours, I've got mine, then why is the religious system of Saul hunting David all the days of his life? Saul hunted David all the days of his life. So that David had to flee for his life. Saul chased David continually because he was threatened by David. Because David represented the true opposition and the true threat to the kingdom of Saul. And beloved, Christ in us always has the life of Saul in defense, on the run. Even though it appears like it's the exact opposite. And I love what Pastor Carter said earlier this week at a pastor's meeting. He said, in Christ, those that are believers, that you and I are always one day ahead of our pursuers. We're always one day ahead of those that are trying to pursue us and kill us and take the life of Christ. We're always one day ahead. Saul was always trapped in the wilderness. He couldn't see where to go. He couldn't find David. David knew, being led by the Spirit of God, he was led to safety. He was led to a place where the spirit of Saul could not extinguish his life. He was always a day ahead. David was always able to see where the places of safety were. But not only that, not only did God keep him in times where he was one day ahead of his enemy, and so shall you and I be. When we walk in the Spirit, when we call on that David Spirit to come upon us, when we ask that life of Christ to rise up and show us how to get through the wilderness of those that everything that's trying to extinguish the life of Christ in us. You and I'll be kept from that in the same way that David was kept always out of reach of Saul. But when you really look at the life of David, even though Saul was seeking David's life, every time they had an encounter in the wilderness, David and Saul, in the hard places, every time they had an encounter, it is David who spares Saul's life. It is David who spares Saul's life. So what looks like David is the hunted, but that's not the truth. The truth is every time they came together, the power of life and death was in David's hand. The weapon was in David's hand. And Saul was at his mercy every time they had an encounter. Hallelujah. David always had the upper hand, even when pursued. And things were not as they appeared. Yes, when we look at David's life, we see that he had his struggles. He was not just pursued by Saul, but he had his struggles. He went into a cave. He lived in a cave for a season. That represents so many times you and I, if we can know, bouts of despair or depression. But David always came out stronger out of the cave. Yes, he knew these times of depression or despair, but he was never allowed to sink below it. He was always allowed. God had a season. God had a purpose. God had his reasons why David experienced what he did. But David's trust in God never wavered. He was always learned at some point to encourage himself in the Lord, because I believe he was a worshiper. because he learned to worship in a cave ultimately. And you know the story that the 400 men in debt and despair that followed him in came out mighty men of God. Under the influence of David, who learned to worship in a cave and do it for the glory of God and not question why. Yes, there were seasons of darkness, but then God came and he cried out and worshiped. God began to break the power of what was in that cave and not just transform him, but all those that gathered round him. David knew what it was, of course, when he would go into another land and he would make a fool of himself. He finally, one day, got tired of running from Saul. So he ran to a foreign king and he said, "Take me under your protection. I'm so tired. I'm exhausted from running after Saul." And the scripture says that when he lived in this foreign king's court, he had to make a fool of himself in order to survive. And there is a lesson there. That might even be a whole other message. But the Holy Spirit came and led him out, said, "You don't belong there. You don't belong there." And the Holy Spirit was able to take David, "You don't belong there. I'm going to keep you in the wilderness. Saul, he's hunting for your life, but you're not the hunted David. I'm going to keep you in this wilderness because he's the rejected king. I've provided myself a king. David, I know what I'm doing. And for a season, you're obscure. Nobody sees. Nobody knows what I've called you to. I'm forming my life in you. I'm forming a trust in you. I'm teaching you to be a worshiper in the cage and in a foreign land. When you make mistakes, when you act like a fool, I've not withdrawn my hand from you. My call on you goes forward. And for a season, you're hidden in the wilderness and nobody knows what I'm speaking to your heart but you. But it doesn't change because if you'll worship me and you'll learn to do all for the glory of God, the king, the anointing, the call is on you and you're going to rise in the power of my spirit." And beloved, today, with Christ in us, that same call that was on David, that same anointing rests on us if Christ lives in us. We can be for that season in that dark time. We can be for a season hunted or we feel hunted. But then we remember the Holy Spirit comes and says, "No, it's never a rejected king that will have dominion over you. You have the upper hand. You have the upper hand. I'm with you." Beloved, the story of David and Saul is the picture and the type of our salvation. It is the picture of what you and I have been called into. For a season, we're unknown and we're unseen, but that changes nothing. We are being trained for the call. God had to go to a man who had a few little sheep in the wilderness and said, "I see your heart. I see your heart. And that's the heart I want. And if you will give me your heart," that's what Christ is saying to us, "if you will give me your heart, the call I have for you and what you will do will far exceed anything you can think or know." And how do I know that? It's because Jesus who makes the promise to us. It's not our imaginations. It is a God who said, "I will form an instrument of torture, a cross, and I will hang on it so that when I'm died and when I am buried, I may rise again on the third day and come and live in you and show you that you and I, that Saul will die and he will be buried. And what will resurrect is David, another king, another time, another leading. It's Christ in you, the David I send you. I will put myself on an instrument of torture that I may come and if you open your heart to me like and have a heart like David, I will come in and I will dwell in you and I will teach you to be a worshiper. I will give you new motives to serve me that will give you power through the cave and through the foreign land. It'll give you power through the wilderness. It'll give you power to keep believing me. It'll give you power to believe I've anointed you. It'll give you power to believe I've called you. It'll give you power to believe I've changed you. It'll give you power when you're hunted. It'll give you restraint when you have got an enemy in your hand. It will do all, and you will do it all for my glory, and people will know you are David. The same spirit that is Jesus Christ will be on us, beloved. And people will. What they want is Jesus. They don't want a reformed us. They want Christ. And if we will bring them Christ in his glory, many will be drawn to him through our lives. Beloved, do not despise if you are in a hidden place, a wilderness place. Saul your old life, your old nature has been refuted, has been rejected. You don't live under his dominion. There's a new king in you and I. There's a new king with the same anointing given David as us. And today in 2007, God is calling us Davids. And he wants us to rise and believe him, learn to worship him, learn to do what we do for the glory of God. We will see a mighty thing this year. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 As the musicians come, I would just like to open these altars that all of those that say, Lord, I have to believe you for that David anointing because Saul is strong. And I have to believe this word. And I want to go down and acknowledge, Lord, that I'm going to believe you. I'm dropping my old weapons and I'm coming in this struggle, Lord, to believe for that David anointing you've given me at salvation. I'm coming to believe for it. Those that want to make that kind of statement, would you come and you join me at this altar? If you're in this place today, you may not be at the front, maybe in your seat, but you're saying, you know, I don't think I stand in the light of forgiveness. I don't think I have a new life in Jesus Christ. And I hear today he's offering it to me. He'll forgive me, call me his, and live his life through me. If there's anyone in this audience today, you could say, I want that new life in Christ that he offers me if I'll give my life to him. If you want to do that today and you've never done that, if you would just raise your hand right now, all we want to do is just pray with you. You're saying, Christ, come in and give me a new life. All over this place. Hallelujah. Those that are raising their hands, if you just pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for taking it. Come and live in me. Forgive me my sin. And give me this new life. I want to be a new creature. I want to have a new life in Jesus Christ. Thank you for forgiving my sin and for giving me this new life. I receive it by faith. And thank you. This is a new beginning for me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And if you have prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, Jesus Christ has come and he has... The darkness in you is being dispelled because he is the light of the world. And he brings his light in his life. And he forever breaks the power of sin and the devil and the world off our hearts and minds. And he now says, I give you the spirit of David. My life in your life. And I'll take you on a journey. And I'll teach you how to live a life that honors me. I'll teach you how to live a life that has meaning and dignity. I'll teach you how to live a life that will influence others because I will live my life through you. And today is the first day of a brand new life. I did it in 1978. And though I didn't fully understand when I prayed that prayer, something real happened. And God did change my life and he will change your life. He's no respecter of persons. What he did for me, he will do for you. Everyone that prayed. And everyone that has come to this altar, you know why you've come. And you know what God has said to your heart during this message. And I believe God just wants you to know that I have given you the spirit of David. That Saul is a rejected king. And that you and I have been given power to call on this life of Christ, the same spirit that was on David, that Christ gave him. We can call on this life of David and he will rise up, Jesus in us, and he will be the reigning king. We call the enemy a liar. And when we feel our flesh, when we feel our mind attacked, we just remember, this is Saul and he's been rejected as king. He cannot rule me. He is a rejected king. He has no authority in my life. But the king that's anointed, the King that lives in me, King Jesus. He is the one who's going to let me do exploits, conquer this King Saul, and conquer every giant. Beloved, it is real. This is ours in God. What God has been speaking to you throughout this message, he says, trust me, I've given you the spirit of David, and you will do exploits. His life, you will live by the power of Christ in you. And we just thank God, we receive it by faith. And next time the battle gets fierce, we reject the rejected king. You have no part of my thought life. We ask, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And at that moment, ask for the thoughts of David, who is our Christ, the Son of David, Jesus Christ. Ask for his thoughts. Say, Lord, what are your thoughts on this? When fear comes in, when the doubt comes in, when the panic comes in, Lord, we can say, I reject this life of Saul in me, and I call now on you, Jesus. Think your thoughts through me. What do you say? He will come. He will come. You don't have to follow a rejected king. We follow the anointed king who lives in us and gives us power in every situation. God bless you and receive it all by faith this day. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the message.